coming to you live from Plug It Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida. We are keeping you plugged in with episode 358 of F5 Live, refreshing technology. Good luck.
This week, I have to have a microphone. This week, T-Mobile CEO goes on another profane-ridden attack. Spotify might be streaming video. And Nintendo doesn't win in World 1 sublevel UK. Say Nick. Say it.
Nick.
Nope, you can't do it with your mic off.
Nick.
There you go. You're starting to figure this out a million shows in.
Feels good.
There's all kinds of things happening in here tonight.
It's true.
I don't know what else to say. I think it's causing a smell, though.
It is. A smell of...
Is this going to be a cry?
Disaster, shame, regret, misfortune, and a little bit of Sony. Of course, I'm talking about the new tech smell.
Way think, too much Sony.
This show.
This show?
This show right here.
This one
right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. Can you believe it? If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here.
We are, and both of our microphones are on.
We promise we're here. How about that? Wherever you may be, and however you may be listening to the show, or watching the show, I don't know what you do. You can get it on Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv. Over on our new home, live stream with the Tech Podcast Network live stream, or on our apps. We have two. Plugitslive.com/apps. You can get it for the Windows. All of the Windows.
All of the Windows.
Double pane.
Pella.
Sliding.
I figure they're so far out of our industry, the brand name doesn't matter.
Or you can get it on the best and most current operating system on the planet, the most popular by far. Of course, I'm talking about WebOS. And if you have an LG TV, which has WebOS on it, they've sold like a million. Let us know if it works, because we don't know.
It does not. It is a new app catalog. I went looking this week.
Okay.
I signed up to be a developer. I'm going to try it again. I have most of the code already written.
If you are watching or listening to the show as a zombie,
nom, nom, nom,
which means not live, you have no idea why we're so giddy. We will talk about that in a little bit. But this right here is our flagship show. F5 Live Refreshing Technology airs Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time for about an hour. Also doesn't really start at 9 sometimes, like tonight.
Yeah, we missed by a little bit.
Just a little. We're going to make it up by talking faster the whole time.
Okay,
so you can watch the show at F5Live.tv. Click the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, special events, Pilch Point, Nightcap, etc. Yep. Avram Pilch, online editor, director of Laptop Magazine, and Tom Sky will be on later to talk about the Amazon Fire Phone and why you should avoid it now. Our show airs Sunday nights, 9 p.m., like I said, for 1 hour. Gets posted between Sunday nights and Monday morning, through job to work, school, or what have you.
All right, back to normal.
Back to normal.
That's enough of that.
How did I do? It's like those car dealership things.
It was frightening.
Right?
You could be an auctioneer, but only for about 90 seconds.
Right.
Before it gets old.
$305 tax tag and title. Mazda.
Professional driver on a closed course.
Did I drive this at home? Listen, I'm sweating in here. It's crazy.
I am too.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's going on because it's a little bit crazy. No, wait, hold on. I can't do that yet. Gotta do this part. You're throwing me off. F5Live.tv/join us. Yes, it's all your fault tonight. You can chat with us live in the studio every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's an incentive for listening live. If you go to our website and subscribe, or you go to iTunes or whatever, download the show, you get the show, believe it or not, in studio quality sound. I promise, it's great. And that's an incentive too. But extra incentive
I know
the fact that if you watch live, you can stay tuned after the show, where we chat with you guys and ask each other a random question that we don't know as of right now what it is. It changes every week. It's my turn, his turn, my turn. It's his turn. He's not prepared. It's called the Nightcap. It's the Discovery Award-winning, Nobel Peace Prize-nominated Nightcap, mind you. I should point that out. So, tonight, you have a question.
Yeah.
You're ready. And that question is...
I don't think we've done this one.
Okay. That's not a question.
My only problem is we might have.
Okay.
I have a backup if we have.
Okay.
Source of the zombie apocalypse.
I think we did that.
That's what I was thinking. Have we done that one?
Yeah. We did that. I don't remember my answer.
We did it early on, I think.
Early on.
Like the fourth or fifth one of these things.
I'm going to bring the music back. Scott has a question. Tonight's question is...
Most creative solution to a tech disaster. Does not have to be show related.
Okay. So.
It seems appropriate for tonight.
So, speaking of tech disasters, we'll talk about what happened right now. We're a little bit giddy, a little laughy, because nitrous oxide fills the room. No, not that. Well, you might need some, depending on how much pain you're in right now.
I'm a little low on blood. I cut myself pretty good earlier, and I couldn't get it to stop bleeding for a little over half an hour.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, so...
Uh-oh.
See, it dims.
I did. I did warn that might be a possibility, but it did not turn off, which is normal.
That's true.
It did not flicker. It just dimmed a little bit.
That's true.
Anyway, so, yeah, I cut myself. It's still not entirely done bleeding.
It's still bleeding through the bandage.
4.5 hours later. But at least I can't feel it anymore. I don't know if that's better, but...
I told him for the whole show he should hold it up like this the whole time. And so there's that. We're missing a laptop.
Yep, we're missing the computer that usually is over there and runs this, which is where the logo lives, and then later normally Avram would live back there.
Don't call the cops, though. Nobody stole it.
No, I'm just stupid. I'm going to blame it on the loss of blood, despite the fact that it happened more than 24 hours earlier.
It was a predecessor to the loss of blood.
Premonition.
Yeah, that's the one. So yeah, we're using a game console.
A different device.
To power this.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Avram over here on my soundboard, which he wields all the power tonight. At any time, he turns the mic on and he's just gonna talk.
Luckily he's not listening, yes. So he's not getting the suggestion.
Yes, what's really cool is that he can see us tonight, which usually never happens.
Right, normally he has to watch on the stream with you guys, but then he has to turn it off during his segment, so that makes, you know, interaction a little odd. Otherwise there's, you know, the whole audio loop back and such.
And delay.
Well, there's
so
that.
There's like a 35-second delay going to live stream, and then if you... get it through a third service, it's even longer. Yeah. I don't know how it works.
And we know his internet works really well.
Right.
That was a, what's the word? Sarcasm.
That was a sarcasm.
That was a sarcasm.
That was a sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got show to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to keep things short and sweet. Well, we hope you had a good Father's Day and that you had a good E3 sitting at home watching it.
For those of you who sat at home watching it, who knows, somebody in there might have been there.
Well, I'm not wishing those people enjoyed themselves.
Well, no.
Because we know they didn't. I wouldn't want to stand in line for 6 hours to play 8 minutes of a game.
Yeah, I was going to say all two things you got to see all week.
So now, we have moved on past E3. We have moved on past Father's Day. We're back to tech news.
Thank
That's
goodness.
What we do. So let's talk about some of that stuff. Nope.
That's not it. That's the one.
That was a test beep. Mm-hmm. The sound of the beep. The ad starts. This week's Nifty Gifties on F5 Live. Hey, they are nifty.
They're Nifty Gifties.
Proudly powered by the Microsoft Store. Hey, get this. People within listening of me. No. That didn't work.
No. Nope,
people who can hear our voices.
There you go.
That's better. If you haven't heard by now, Windows XP is a bye-bye. no longer supported by Microsoft. What does that mean to you? Well, it depends. Do you have an XP computer? If you do, it's time to upgrade. And what better way to upgrade than to head over to the Microsoft Store right now, where they're offering a great deal, $100 off of a brand new Windows 8 computer, convertible, or even a Surface. But not $100 off the Surface. But you can get a Surface too. And 90 days of support and free file data transfer. That's awesome.
It really is, because we all know one of the biggest pains in changing computers is moving all your stuff from the old one to the new one. So having somebody do that for you for free, total win.
Comes all together, but you can't get it anywhere. You have to go to the Microsoft Store. You have to go to f5live.tv/Microsoft. So, T-Mobile's in the news again.
And not for the inevitable buyout.
No. And not for lying.
Huh.
Ever since, and I'm going to butcher the name, but such is life, CEO John Legere took over in 2012, he kind of shifted the mentality of the company just in general.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a frat boy type personality.
A little bit. A little hipster, a little frat boy. It's very strange.
Yeah, so that makes for interesting press conferences.
Yes. So,
and a very interesting Twitter account.
That's for sure. Most recent press conference was for the Music Unlimited thing.
Okay.
Which you're familiar with.
Absolutely.
If you guys are not, it's T-Mobile has decided that if you prefer to listen to select music stations and music apps on T-Mobile services, that data won't count against your cap, against your usage.
Right.
So you can stream for free. We can get into it next week on how bad that actually is for customers down the road because of net neutrality. But for today, we'll just mention that it happened at the press conference. And at this press conference, we are used to Legere spewing profanity. That's just part of the deal now.
Yep.
But
it's frat boy.
Yeah. But it got really bad. Really bad. So he started talking about Verizon and AT&T, and he said,
notice that he does not mention Sprint, who is about to own him.
He did make fun of the Framley plan.
Well, I mean, it's a stupid name.
But he didn't say this to them. He said about Verizon, Wireless, and AT&T, quote, these high and mighty duopolists that are raping you for every penny you have, they expletive hate you. So, he can throw the F-bomb all he wants to, and I'm cool with that. I just come to expect it by now.
It's a shame we didn't plan through that. We could have used our dinger like we used to.
We could have.
And it would have been funny because of the logo on it.
Yes.
Keep going.
Yes. But he has said now that two wireless carriers are raping you.
Not his soon-to-be employer, mind you.
True. Does anyone else see a problem with this other than me?
No, I don't. I think it's just you.
Oh, okay. Then we'll just move on. Never mind. Forget I said a thing. Everyone go to T-Mobile. So sign up today and enjoy life with the hipster CEO.
With a $59 Lumia 522 available at the Microsoft Store. Anyway.
Yes. Maybe, though, you don't throw the whole rape word around in a group of media.
Yeah, well.
Or in general.
Well, they're not media. The thing is media. But yes, at a press conference.
Yes.
That's a weird word to have just on the tip of your tongue ready in any social or business situation.
That's what I'm saying. This is not good. He apologized on Twitter later and said, the drawback to having no filter when I speak, sometimes I need a filter. Genuinely apologized to those offended last night. On the website at plugitslive.com/theupstream, or if you go to f5live.tv and go find the upstream, I have the video clip from Highlights from the Evening, put together by The Verge. It's 4 minutes of insanity.
Well, he's an interesting guy.
he is.
And if he were a parody account, he would be a lot of fun to read.
He'd be the best one.
You know, Kaz Hirai has got a parody account on Twitter, and during the Sony and Microsoft press conferences during E3, it was the best Twitter account to be following because it's ridiculous. Well, this guy actually is ridiculous, like, in real life. And that makes it different.
It does. I feel like he should always be wearing a leather jacket.
Over that pink shirt.
Pink shirt.
You got to be careful because sometimes AT&T will throw you out of the party you crashed.
But am I getting too old for these rough-edged comments? Or, like, is this just not something any company should do, especially not something as large as T-Mobile?
I don't know that I'd call them large, but...
Well, they do have a real 4G network now, thanks to Metro.
It's true, they do.
They don't lie anymore. They just curse you out, apparently.
Apparently.
They've turned from, like, the 5-year-old that just lies about everything they're doing to the 13-year-old that says, "You're not my dad. Screw you."
Well, hopefully he won't say that to SoftBank, because...
what we've turned into. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, like I said, if it was a parody account, it would be a lot of fun to watch. But since he appears to be a real person, I don't find it that interesting.
Yeah, I don't think he's animatronic.
I mean, if so, Disney's gotten better.
A lot better.
I mean, they've certainly enhanced their Al Gore model.
You know, there's
almost lifelike now.
There's a natural progression to the Disney Imagineers. So maybe this is what it is. Maybe this just in, Disney owns T-Mobile. John Legere is an animatronic.
I don't think they have to own T-Mobile. They just were contracted by T-Mobile to make an animatronic CEO.
Is he just a hologram like the Tupac guy thing? Not the Tupac. I know who Tupac is.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So long as you know that at one point, Tupac was real.
Yes. He is no longer real.
He was not always a hologram.
Do you think it's the same thing?
Though I suppose we have no proof of that today.
That's valid.
It's just in. Tupac was always a hologram.
That explains everything.
We warned you this was going to be a weird show tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
I think we did that at the top.
This could be the best show ever.
Or it could be incredibly painful.
I think it's going pretty well.
I meant my finger hurts. You weren't expecting that at all, were you?
No!
Go ahead and play that music and we'll do this next bit.
And scene.
That one skipped this time.
This week's Pilch Point with online editorial director of Laptop Magazine and Tom's Guide, Avram Pilch, is proudly powered by Kreos.
And their Meteor smartwatch. It works for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, which is fantastic. It comes in a variety of colors. The bands come in a variety of shapes, including stopwatch style or belt clip. So if you don't like to wear a watch, which I do not, you still have the ability to use a lot of the health monitoring features without having to wear it on your wrist. The great news is you can pre-order it right now by going to f5live.tv/meteor. And there's the music. That means it's time for the Pilch Point. With online editorial director of Laptop Magazine and Tom's Guide, Avram Pilch. Avram, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent. Despite all of the technical difficulties, you are here with us tonight. It is fantastic. How was your Father's Day?
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Really, really good. Got to hang out a lot with the Pilch Book Mini. He's getting a lot bigger. He's he's learning how to use tablets now. He's actually getting pretty good with it. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's good. Did you guys do anything special?
Nah, we just kind of hung out with his grandparents, and then yesterday, which was not Father's Day, we went and had like another Father's Day with my parents who weren't around for Father's Day. So that was cool. Except I got commandeered to remove viruses from my mother's computer, which seems to happen every time I go to their house.
All the time.
But I guess that's what it means to be the kid, as well as the father.
Best thing that ever happened to me was I gave my mother a Surface RT, so viruses went away.
That's probably for the best. My mother's been using computers for 30 years, but she can't help herself. But good thing for her, her son is the online editorial director for Left Out Megaton's Guide, whom you can follow at Geek in Chief. You can always tweet me with your virus problems. I'll be there for you just like family.
Just like family.
And you can read my articles on Laptop Mag and tomsguide.com. Follow all of our coverage there of subjects such as the Amazon phone, which was a big deal this week.
Yes, it was.
Such a big deal that I actually even wrote about it, which I tend to just leave to you guys, though I took from a developer standpoint.
I think it's a disaster from a lot of standpoints. Although, as someone who doesn't do as much development as you guys do, but dabbles in it, I kind of find the Firefly SDK promise to be somewhat interesting, but only if it works well, which remains to be seen. But from a consumer perspective, I really can't say strongly enough what a bad idea this phone is. I mean, we haven't got one in the office to test it yet, so I can't say it's slow or the battery life is bad or any of those things that, you know, we evaluate on. But it's like it's a mall pretending to be your phone. Would you carry Walmart in your pocket? Would you have a laptop that ran Target OS? Would you? I mean, that's in effect what the Amazon Fire phone is. Now, we all put up with Amazon's Fire OS on the Kindle Fire tablets, because, hey, tablets, a lot of them, especially these, were for media consumption. But this new Fire phone, it costs the same or more than high-end phones like the Galaxy S5. Yet all it has to going for it are some gimmicky gesture controls, software that can identify and tell you how to buy anything you want on Amazon, and a really weird 3D effect that was done on the iPhone with wallpaper a long time ago. So there's just not a lot of advantages to this. Meanwhile, you're getting last year's specs, and you're getting an operating system that's designed to get you to buy things, not to be productive or communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of that, like, even before the official announcement, the talk of the 3D screen or whatever the multiple cameras was going to be used for sounded like it was going to be gimmicky. And then the fact that it was going to be Fire OS, which in and of itself is gimmicky in that, like you said, it's basically a mall pretending to be an operating system. It all just sounded like they were going to announce something bad.
I just, the incentive for them to do it the right way isn't there, because, I mean, unless they feel that they have to do it the right way to get more people to use it. But I mean, the only way that Amazon could have really made this spectacular was, and not, I wouldn't say spectacular from a user perspective, but spectacular from people would want to buy it, is by making it extremely cheap or free because, oh, well, they could take the loss to promote their Amazon services. But all they really have here is a phone that has last year's specs. This is like the Facebook phone, but for Amazon. And we know how well the Facebook phone, the HTC First, did. So maybe this will do better, but I'm doubting it. First of all, you have, just specs-wise, you have a 4.7-inch screen when most people are getting things that are 5.1s and things that are full HD. You're getting something that's you know, regular HD, not particularly special screen, although it's searingly bright at 590 nits. So theoretically could blind you to all of its imperfections. really the main feature that it has is it has these four cameras that look at your face and then adjust the background using 3D effects to make it look like certain pictures are tilting with you. But guess what you won't see tilting? You won't see Google Maps. You won't see Gmail. You won't see YouTube. You won't see Google Search app or Google Now, because even though Fire OS is built on Android, it doesn't have any of the Google apps. And it doesn't have the rich ecosystem even of, say, a Windows phone. So, you know, there's no voice assistant, there's no Cortana for you, there's no Siri, there's no Google Now. What you have is Firefly, and of course you have Mayday, where you can call a real person and get customer service. But is that really any different than being in Walmart and calling on the greeter to help you when you fall in the bulk aisle? Like, this is essentially designed to help you shop better, but believe me, there's plenty of opportunities to shop at Amazon. Now, here's something that's really interesting. When I wrote this article saying five reasons why you shouldn't get the Fire, and I was expecting, when it went up on Yahoo and some other places, to get some angry posts from people, just like I did when I told them that they shouldn't get the iPhone 6, which isn't out yet. Can you believe it? There's no such thing as an Amazon fanboy.
Interesting.
Everybody agrees that the Fire phone is bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single publication with an article titled "Why I'm Getting the Amazon Fire Phone." It's all been, it's an interesting phone, but no thanks.
Also, you know, look, the 3D effect thing that they're doing is a total gimmick, and I'm sure there will be other phones. Now, I'm sure one thing that they're a little ahead of the curve on here is I'm sure we're going to see phones very soon that have depth perception cameras on them. As you guys probably know, Intel is really big on depth perception cameras. They're working on putting them into laptops. They just updated their special, was it RealView 3D camera SDK kit at Computex. I've seen all kinds of demos for that. The company's probably going to end up at some point, I'm sure, pushing it into Intel-based phones because they're pushing it into laptops. So, you know, will we see dual cameras to do better gesture recognition if gesture recognition was anything more than a gimmick? Sure. But we also saw gesture recognition on the Samsung phones last year, and they were absolutely terrible. I mean, it was just such a terrible waste. You had to, like, instead of doing this, it was just so much easier just to swipe than to try and, like, convince your phone to move. And the Fire phone is the same thing. So you tilt it to scroll, big whoopee-doo. We saw that on Samsung like a year and a half ago, and it was such a bad idea that they turned it off on the Galaxy S5 because it was such a negative thing on the S4. So, you know what? You know, I understand, because it's Amazon and Amazon hasn't been in the phone business before. People are excited and it's going to make news. And who knows, maybe the next version of the phone will have some more compelling features. But even then, it will still be a shopping mall. Maybe having a media tablet that's a shopping mall is okay because you're going to watch movies on it or whatever. But your phone is your personal communicator now. It's part of your being. Pretty soon they're just going to start like putting it under the skin. So to have that is absolutely, you know, you don't want that. You don't want to have your operating system in your phone run by a company whose pretty bare motive is to just sell you more of their stuff.
I agree. I've seen hundreds of articles now of the don't get an Amazon Fire phone. And that is uncommon for new releases from big companies.
Especially like when Amazon normally announces a product outside of the phone category, apparently it's going to be our rule. Normally there's a lot of, oh, there's a new, you know, Kindle Fire tablet. There's a the TV thing got some positive responses. But, I mean, nothing here.
There has to be a higher standard. Considering the role of the smartphone in your life, there has to be a higher standard for it. You know, a tablet that costs $200 is a little bit kind of throwaway. You know, you buy it for someone as a gift. You give it to the kids to play apps on. But, you know, a Fire TV, yeah, that's totally in their wheelhouse. But your phone, you use it for work. You use it for important communications. You use it to look things up. Your phone these days is a lifeline. You can't have the lifeline. I mean, if you attach any other retailer's name to it, it sounds as ridiculous as it is. Would you get the Newegg phone? Would you get the Walmart phone, the Target phone, the Toys R Us phone?
Would you get the Apple phone?
No. But in Apple's defense, they are a technology company that is, although, I mean, you know, you could certainly argue your point is kind of you make an interesting point, whether you mean to or not, which is Google and Apple and Microsoft are also trying to sell you things on their phones. It's not, you know, they're not, it's not a total, it's not totally out of, they're not, their motives aren't totally pure either, but they're known to be operating system companies. But they make operating systems. They kind of understand that they're making these things for a wide swath of people. People are going to use them in the office for work. Can you imagine the BYOD with the Amazon, you know, Fire Phone?
No.
Hey, can you, you know, can the IT department manage this phone for me? Can I put like the secret data on it? Does it do encryption? I mean, it's the Fire Phone. It's like something I would give my son as like a toy, so that he didn't feel bad that he couldn't have my real phone.
Now, Avram, you make a good point as well, and I hear what you're saying. But aren't Apple and Newegg kind of the same company? They both buy technologies from other companies and sell them for a higher price for no reason. Isn't that the same thing?
Newegg is pretty cheap. Good deals.
Yeah, and iPhone's pretty cheap, the 5C. I mean, this is all the same.
You save a whole $50.
This is the same, Avram.
Obviously a lot of joking in a topic that gives us plenty of ammunition.
Right.
Yep. No doubt. I mean, it's obviously a big space. Everybody wants to be in your pocket. In a couple years, I promise you, we'll be talking about everybody wants to be in your implant. It'll be everybody wants to be in your eyepiece, and then everybody wants to be in your subcutaneous implant.
In the iPhone.
The iPhone. In your eye.
The EYE phone.
Yeah, exactly. The EYE phone. And I would just say that this upcoming week is going to be a huge week for companies getting into your business, because Google I/O is coming up, and we could learn a lot more about Google's own health initiative. As we know, Apple has a health initiative now, and we know that Samsung has a health initiative. Their initiative meaning that they want to store all your data somewhere where they can then resell it to your health insurance company.
That's true.
Google also wants to be in your house and watch you while you're doing whatever with Dropcam.
Right.
Well,
in its nest.
I guess. Yep. They just bought Dropcam for Nest. They're going to have a health initiative. Google is going to be everywhere that you want to be.
That's a different company.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But the same idea.
Yeah, but the same idea.
Google does believe that it's healthy for them to know everything about you. That's their health initiative.
Yep.
Wonderful.
So, you know, I unfortunately don't get to go this year. My colleague Dan Howley is going, but I encourage everybody to check out the coverage on, particularly on laptopmag.com, and some will be on Tom's Guide, but mostly on laptopmag.com, because we're expecting some cool things to come out of that. Perhaps the next version of Android, perhaps some new hardware, perhaps some new information about glass. Obviously, this health initiative has been rumored. So, hopefully it'll be a lot better than last year's I/O, where all we did was get free Pixel notebooks, which were a waste of time.
See, it's because you stopped drinking the Kool-Aid, huh, Avram? Now you don't get to go.
It's because they're being pretty strict this year, only allowing one person per media outlet. So I got to go to Taiwan. Dan gets to go there. We'll see who gets to go to Germany. We'll fight it out for IFA.
We'll film it. That's going on our website at f5live.tv. Click the subscribe button on the right hand side.
Laptop battles.
Do you actually battle with laptops?
With the Pixels from last year.
The tough books, actually. See which one breaks first.
Yeah. I got a hard head. I think his will break first.
Done. So he doesn't get to go. Problem solved.
There you go.
We'll take bets on our website, but give them your contacts one more time, Avram, before we talk to you next week.
So you can follow me on Twitter at @GeekandChief. Follow all of our news about Google I/O and about the Amazon Fire Phone that you shouldn't buy on laptopmag.com and tomsguide.com.
Thanks, Avram.
Thanks.
This week's Extra Life on F5 Live is proudly powered by Electronic Arts and Origin. If you haven't heard about Origin, you need to find out about it because it's really cool. A brand new feature just came your way this weekend. I'm talking about Game Time. What time is it? It's Game Time.
I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you. I will let you know what that is. Game Time is a really cool thing. AAA titles, your favorite games. Well, for a certain period, become free for you to play for 48 hours. Not for a weekend, whenever you start the timer, as long as you download the game within a 72-hour period, you can start the timer whenever you want, and you can play for 48 hours. That's why it's really cool, and if you're still listening live, or if you catch this before Monday at noon, Titanfall is the first game for Game Time. And of course, the On the House games, Plants vs. Zombies, Battlefield 3, the list goes on. It's all there too. And if you don't like a game that you bought and you absolutely despise it, that's okay too. EA's Great Game Guarantee says you can get your money back and buy something else. So all those things are available for you at f5live.tv/origin.
They really are giving you a lot of ways to make sure you like the thing that you purchase.
Yeah, I mean...
I like that.
It's about time that EA turned that corner and started, what's the word, listening to customers and realizing that they're not just going to enjoy what you give them because you say so.
Right.
It's not the Apple mentality.
God, you got to it first. Speaking of getting to it first, Philips apparently got to the Wii before Nintendo did. So, Nintendo and Philips have had a odd-ish relationship for a couple of decades. In the early 90s, Nintendo had partnered with a little company you may have heard of called Sony to build a CD-based add-on for one of their consoles. The product didn't go ahead. The relationship was canceled, and Sony ended up taking that technology and releasing a small product you may have heard of called the PlayStation. To try and recoup From that, Nintendo started a relationship with Philips to, once again, try this thing out. And it also did not exactly work. But Philips did release a product called the CDI, which was kind of a computer, kind of a game console, mostly marketed as a game console, which wasn't their intention, but it is what happened. And as part of their relationship with Nintendo, they had a couple of Nintendo-based games, Mario and three Zelda games. Obviously, you haven't heard about Philips in the space, so must have been a failure. And it was. Skip ahead 15 years, and Nintendo is coming out with this new console. The Wii goes on to sell 100 million units before self-destructing with the Wii U. And they've got this cool motion control, right? Got a lot of people's attention, mostly Philips lawyers.
Yeah.
Because they have a trio of patents that seem to cover the controllers. And despite what most people think about how the controllers work, there's a big misconception about how the Wii controllers work. The sensor bar is not, as the name would suggest, a sensor of any sort.
Yeah.
It's actually two spaced LEDs, infrared LEDs, that merely turn on. I mean, there's literally that's all there is to it. The only reason you plug it into the console at all is for power. That's why there are wireless ones. You can even put two lit candles at the right distance and use a Wii.
I took two little LEDs and put them up and hooked them up to batteries so I could make them span the length of a projector screen.
I have them on my entertainment system. I've still got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly that. The way they actually work is in the controller, obviously accelerometer, gyro, all of those things. But on the end, the little black bit is actually a camera that is an infrared camera that senses the two little LEDs and is able to determine positioning and angling and upside down and all of that thing from the two infrared LEDs. So it's a camera and motion sensors. Oh, turns out that's exactly what these patents are for. The combination of a camera and motion sensor into a control device. Now, it does not cover devices that have both a camera and motion sensors in them. It's important to get that out there. So smartphones don't fall into this. However, coupling them is what the patents cover, and so they sued. Of course they did. Because Nintendo was using their patent, which they may have even known about from their relationship 15 years earlier, to build this new console that was their seemingly last success. So they filed in a couple of markets, the US, the UK. The UK case just finished up, and Nintendo lost.
Uh-oh. Sad day.
That's no good for Nintendo, who has been having a wonderful year. Sarcasm. They've filed their first annual loss in ever, and it has not really gotten better since then. It's gotten a little better, as none of the executives have taken a salary this year.
That's so true.
At least there's that.
They're saving money.
But the Wii U has been, what's the word? Disaster. For them, I think they've sold 8. The actual number is 6 million, which I think both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One have sold already.
Yep.
And the Wii U's been out, it seems like, forever, and they have only done 6 million units. It's not been good times for them. So, adding an inevitable licensing fee to every Wii and Wii U that has ever been sold, not going to make that situation better.
It's a sad day for Nintendo.
Yeah, it is. And this could, of course, influence the US decision. If they've already lost in the UK, that knowledge could bode badly for them here as well, where they could face more fines per console. Yikes.
It all points to Google buying Nintendo, and it all makes me sad.
I think Google would have absolutely no interest in Nintendo, as Google has seen what their things do in the gaming space. Their participation in the gaming space has produced the whopping success that was the Ouya. No, I'm sorry. Disaster. That's what I meant.
You keep mixing those words up tonight.
Sorry. God, it's the blood loss. And of course, the ever popular NVIDIA Shield. So, obviously, again, sarcasm, because none of those products have sold any.
Ten.
So, tens of devices. So, yeah, my guess is Google may not be interested in it, but somebody could.
That's true. Sony.
Possibly Sony. Considering they're both in the same financial situation, it might make sense for them to join forces and sink both ships quicker.
Sontendo.
Gook. At least they are both from the same country, so there is that going for them. Sony has not had great success with their motion device, and Nintendo has 100 million units. So maybe there is a partnership there that could make sense. Who knows? Or somebody totally unexpected could come in on live, write a check, and
done.
Who knows what might happen. But it might be the thing. There's been talk about, you know, whether Nintendo should give up the ghost or the boo, as the case may be.
Yeah.
And this might be the thing that finally convinces them to do it. I think it would be a bad idea. Maybe they could join forces with Atari and
there you go,
reboot themselves together. Who knows?
ETU. Oh. Yep. Fun fact about Ouya, by the way, announced last week they have 48,000 developers registered on their dev accounts worldwide.
Yeah, and they've launched 11 games.
It's, you know, a lot of people working on one thing. Many hands make light work, sir.
Yeah, as it turns out, they don't make good work.
They don't even work. No. This week's News in the Tubes on F5 Live is proudly powered by Riff Tracks.
Make fun of movies or let the professionals do it for you because, you know, it's what they do for a living. The guys who used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000 are back and doing what they do best, making fun of movies. But they don't have just B-movies to deal with anymore. They have the ability to do everything from blockbusters to Sharknado.
Sharknado!
Oh my goodness. Best thing to ever happen. The way it usually works is, for $3 or $4, you download the MP3, play it along with your DVD, Netflix, Amazon, wherever you happen to have the movie, and laugh, and laugh,
and laugh.
However, from time to time, they mix things up and do a live show, like next month, July 10th and 15th, Sharknado.
Sharknado!
I can't wait. If you're in our area, message us and we will all go see it together.
Dose Nights.
Are you saying we're going to go see it both times?
No, they're on for Dose Nights.
Yes.
Because people couldn't get into the last one.
Yeah, the last one was so popular. Thomas went to go see it.
Couldn't go.
And it was sold out.
So now two nights.
Yes, so they're going to do
it. In double the theaters. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. If you're in our area, message us. Find out when we're going to go. We should all go together because wonderful, wonderful. If you want to find out what movies are available or to purchase tickets for Sharknado.
Sharknado!
You can go to f5live.tv/RiffTracks. I can't wait. That is all I have to say.
You know, I yelled Sharknado the first time. And then every time you said Sharknado, I just felt compelled.
Yeah.
So the second time I just did it because I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And the third time it felt weird if I didn't do it.
Yes.
So then there we are.
Well, that's why I left the third one. After you did it the first time, I knew it was going to happen every time I said it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I like it. We should do it through July 10th and July 15th when it happens. Anyway,
Sharknet!
Go ahead. I didn't say the word that time.
Got excited.
I know you did. I heard that. Shouted all over the microphone. Anyway, so Privacy is a big deal. We've been talking.
It is. I'm sorry.
About between things like net neutrality and then even just the Fire Phone.
Yes.
Two segments ago, privacy and the data that's on your devices and that you transmit over the internet should be yours, right? The Electronic Entertainment, nope, what? The Electronic Freedom Foundation, which is not a group in the Congo.
Not Electronic Frontier Foundation?
I thought it was the Freedom Foundation.
I don't know anymore.
I think it's the Freedom
Foundation. Something about America.
Or Freedom Frontier. Who knows what their name is. Either way, it sounds like a militia in the Congo, but the good news is that it's not. It's actually the group who is protecting us against a patent troll right now. So occasionally, yeah, look at that. Frontier Foundation. Hopefully you... Hopefully you fixed it in the article where I obviously got it wrong.
Unsure.
Anyway.
Not sure if fixed or read and thought was correct.
Okay. So anyway, I have kind of a back and forth relationship with this organization.
Definitely a strange group of people.
Yeah, because they're literally defending us.
To do this
in a patent suit right now for free, and they're insane. Let me explain. So they believe that your router should allow anybody to access the internet on your account, which is odd. Now, the way they want it to happen is through an open guest account, which would theoretically be blocked off from the rest of your connection, thereby, you know, protecting your internal computers and things. So if you were to have files shared or whatever, the other side of it, the open side, couldn't access it. Okay, I kind of understand that, except, you know, I don't trust security software particularly. Because it never works. And the way that they're promoting it right now is with an open source firmware for a router, which, if you're a regular listener or viewer of the show, you probably know my opinion of open source software.
Don't support Norton.
I believe we stepped on it before we started tonight.
Yep.
So anyway, open source security software has worked really well in the last 6 weeks. And by that, I mean OpenSSL has had two major security flaws, and then there was the open source hard drive encryption product that they shut down because, oh, it turns out, not secure at all. Fantastic. So, the next thing we should do is protect our, say, financial documents, our tax returns, our Quicken files, all of those things. Let's protect all of those with an open source firmware for our routers that allows anybody to connect to our internet. No, thank you. We have, in the office, we have people come and go all the time who are guests, and we do not have the guest feature enabled on our router. Because I don't trust the professionals at doing it. I certainly don't trust an open source project to do it. That seems like a terrible idea to me.
Yep.
I don't know. Security software whose code is available to the world to easily detect flaws. That seems like the opposite of secure, making it just itty software, which I don't think is a word.
I mean, okay, so we should back up just a second. The EFF is an interesting group, like we said.
Yes, they are.
They are in that weird, still occupying Zuccotti Park type group.
Oh, they're certainly a bunch of hippies.
Right? So they believe they believe that everybody should be able to do everything. Like, Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Which is why they're fighting for us to do what we do. And at the same time going, everyone should have internet and everyone should connect to things and everyone should do what they do.
That's not exactly why they're protecting us. They're totally against patents.
Yes.
That's not quite the same.
Okay, fair. They hate patents.
That's uber hippie.
We hate patents. They hate security.
This patent.
We like security.
Yes. Yes, there's that. So there you go. I don't dislike patents.
We don't like this patent. I guess I should have said.
This is one of the things that the Supreme Court recently called uses a computer patent. That's just so wide and overstretching because they didn't understand computers when the patent was filed, and it's stupid.
So don't buy into the open security and don't buy into open SSL.
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Google had to put out another patch this week on Android for open SSL.
So terrible. I can't even.
What's your encryption key? Oh, I don't know. How would I find that out? Oh, go look at the code.
This week's DRM Not Included on F5 Live is proudly powered by Xbox Music.
Stream music anywhere, anytime. Unlimited on iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows 8, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and of course anything with probably any modern web browser is my guess, but of course you're going to want to go native on most of those devices,
right?
So normally for $9.99 a month, I don't know why I'm incapable of saying that
every
price,
time I look forward to it.
I'm pretty sure you've struggled with that word too, so
$9.99
there it is. For $9.99 a month, unlimited streaming, but we have a deal for you. $99.90.
That's it.
Is that what we decided?
That's the one.
$99.90.
We didn't decide that.
Shh.
That's what they told us.
You get a full year of streaming and downloading on any of those devices, and you can get that deal by going to f5live.tv/Xbox Music. I don't like you anymore.
Speaking of Xbox Music, Spotify.
Huh.
It's another type of music streaming service. They're in the news. Spin up the rumor alert sound.
Ooh.
I can't confirm nor deny this because I can't confirm nor deny this.
Huh.
This is valid things I'm saying.
It's.
But there is talks that Spotify, who almost single-handedly revolutionized the music industry as we know it, and failed, but they tried really hard.
They created Xbox Music. They just didn't mean to.
Right. Now they want to change the world in a different way because, you know, things like Beats Music has come about and they're scared. They're a little bit nervous. They're going to lose people.
Interesting that Beats Music is the thing that would make them scared, considering I think the last number we heard was they have 22 subscribers or something like that.
200,000.
Was that it?
Yeah, to the 8 million on Spotify. But I think it's the curation of music and the custom playlists and stuff kind of made them a little bit skittish on, ours isn't that good and we should do more things. So
the software should feel less Apple-y.
Yeah.
That would help.
That would help a lot. So they want to get into the video streaming service.
Oh, yeah. That's not a crowded market.
No, not at all. So the rumor is they want to take on like Netflix, like Amazon Prime. They want to offer exclusive content, original content through the service.
It seems like they should start by trying to take on Crackle and the things that nobody's ever heard of first.
Yep. Well, if you think about it, yeah, you're right, because Spotify only has a $3 billion valuation. But like Netflix has a $10 billion valuation. Amazon has a $100 billion valuation. They can afford to pay $100 million to produce House of Cards. That can be afforded. Not so much when you don't have as much money.
Right.
Or when you're not a publicly traded company. You know, these things...
Publicly traded or not is...
That's true.
Less important. Being a European company, it could cause them trouble.
Yes.
that's certainly going to limit their licensing capabilities, just like it has with the music service. It's been one of their biggest downfalls is being a European company. A lot of content providers don't want to license to Europe because of the whole Wild West no property rights issues.
All very strange.
That happen in a number of European countries.
So when CEO Daniel Ek was asked about
Equus
video,
it's a horse.
Not that. He said, so politically correctly.
No comment.
Kind of.
Oh.
We're not saying no, but we're not saying yes. We're leaving that option on the table.
Oh.
So people have just run with that and said, oh, they're going to take on Netflix. I have a different theory. I think they are going to offer music video streaming. And no one else has really done that.
So Yahoo had an incredibly successful music video streaming service, and then music videos kind of died.
But see, here's where they haven't. In the scenes that Spotify wants to get into, in the electronic dance music scene and in the hip hop scene, they are bringing in more and more artists, kind of like Beats Music, to tell people about the platform, people who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So they still, I think they're the only two genres of music that still make music videos, I believe.
A lot of indies.
Yeah, that too. Bollywood. There's that. But I don't think there's a lot of Bollywood on Spotify. But I could be mistaken. I haven't searched for it. Let's just say that.
We may have to.
If I type Tampa, Florida, I might come up with a bunch of it. But we'll have to see. But no one has done apps with music video streaming. Yahoo was all web-based back in the day.
Yeah, they had apps, but not for anything that exists today.
Right. So this is a whole
BlackBerry 6 and stuff. That was actually one of the apps that was on our
on
our cut list a couple years ago when Marissa came on.
I remember that. But on this level of you have 8 million people already on your platform, we're in a new type of era with the way apps are created and how they kind of interact, and that they're expected to be part of your platform. You get a phone, you want to have these apps on there, right? So that was my take on it. I don't know if it's
true. So now would be a really good time for them to do that, because currently the platform that's used for distributing music videos, particularly for indies, is YouTube. And YouTube has recently said, we hate you.
Yep.
Kind of go away.
Yep.
Pay us money or go away.
Right.
So now would be a great time. It should launch
yesterday. Yeah.
And I think they could have a lot of success on their hands.
Especially when Beatport, which is a strictly EDM-based, not streaming, but iTunes store for indies and non-iTunes labels.
Mm-hmm.
They have said they don't want to get into that space. They want to just do music. That's where this all kind of started. And then YouTube came around and was like, no, screw you, indie people. Okay, well, there's an open area for people to, that people need to show off their creations and can't. They don't have a way to do it. So if Spotify says, hey, we'll do it, you already have 8 million captive users. I think it's less TV shows, movies, and clips, and I think it's going to end up being more music-based. Even if it's reality-based or non-scripted or whatever-based music-themed things, or interviews, or concerts, or there's so many other ways you can take it that isn't House of Cards.
So, see, the concerts Yahoo is getting into, because they purchased that company,
right?
Whose name I cannot remember today. Many acquisitions to remember all of their names.
And Xbox is doing the Bonnaroo. They're doing the next Coachella.
There's all the stuff that happens through iHeartRadio.
Right.
So that scene is getting a little crowded-ish, except that there's no indie on there. There's no...
Right.
The people that we're talking about are not represented in that collective at all.
And that's who Spotify is. I mean, they make it available so that if you sign on to one of the five indie labels, they do the distribution for you. They do the handling for you. You just submit your music to the company, pay them a bit, and then you don't have to worry about your music anymore.
Right.
No one else offers that right now except iTunes, which is one company, and they charge you way too much. These five guys are doing it at a reasonable cost that allows the artist's music to be exposed to everyone. So, I don't know. It's all a rumor. CEO hasn't said yes or no. I definitely don't think it's House of Cards.
Yeah, I certainly like
production.
I like the idea of doing music videos. I really, really like the idea of doing original music-based content. I'm thinking Carson Daly's show, but with not a moron.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because that show is painful, but the concept is reasonable.
Yep.
Something like that could be cool. Just keep it music based. Stop interviewing movie
right.
people.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So we'll have to see. It's just a rumor. So they either are right or are not right.
I like the idea, though.
Facts of life. I gotta do this part. See, look what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Ish.
Kind of know what I'm doing tonight. That's our show.
It sure is.
F5live.tv. Click the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, special events, Pilch Point, Nightcap, etc.
ETC.
Even Tony cares.
Who's Even Tony?
Even Tony cares.
Ah. Is that one of the Broadway organizations?
Yeah.
Tony cares?
It's like Broadway cares. Many thanks to Avery Pilch for coming on the show and doing audio things. We appreciate that.
Yeah, putting up with technical difficulties for us.
For those watching or listening live, thanks for sticking around. We appreciate it. F5live.tv/join us. We're going to talk Nightcap stuff in a little bit. Tech disasters. Like this one that happened. How you feeling, by the way? You doing all right?
I'm pretty good. I'm going to need to take some painkillers here again in a few minutes.
And everyone go night-night. Wap, wap.
But right now, it's okay.
Great.
I'm glad I'll make it through the nightcap, and then I'm going to need painkillers.
And then you're going to go for a nightcap. This is why I keep the bourbon in the back. Rub a little bit on your gums. You'll take a nap. Everybody go night-night.
I am not Stewie. Just the device that I carry with me.
Oh, my goodness. So, we'll see you guys next week. On behalf of the staff that's not here, I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And Scott's going to go to sleep soon. We hope he feels better. Find us on at Plug Hits Live on Facebook, too. We're over there. Google Plus. We're all over the place. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Ciao.
Please don't die.
I'm not.
You're not going to die?
I said I'm going to not.
Ever.
It's not the sentence that I meant to say.